Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
What's happening?
How are you, buddy?
I'm all right. I'm okay.
You good?
All right.
We got a special guest here. Let's just jump right in.
Do away with the BS.
We got Lang Parker here. Say hello, man.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
I don't think I asked you this last time you were here, but how did you get the name Lang?
Because it's not my real name.
What's your real name?
My real birth given name. Oh, there's two of them. Because I was adopted. So when I was first born, it was Kimberly Marie Kopach. Then I was adopted, and it was Jean Marie Lang. Then I moved out to California, and there was a Jean Lang and SAG, obviously not working.
Yeah.
And I had to go, what am I going to change it? Do Lang? You know, I was thinking of everything, and I just came up with Lang Parker, and I like it because it's androgynous, and you have no idea what I am.
What you are.
Well, yeah.
Who you
Keep
are,
guessing.
What you are.
Exactly.
So how old were you when you were adopted?
A couple weeks old. Or probably a couple months old.
Oh, really? And they gave you the full name.
They gave me the full name and then pulled me from her teat. And then I didn't even get that because I had a lot of health problems, too. Because it's really good to get the breast milk
right
away.
Yeah, get the first couple doses.
Yep, no. They just ripped me away and said, nope.
Really?
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Back in that age, those years, they just ripped
those
you,
days.
Right? They didn't pay attention to anything. I don't have a problem.
But they gave you a middle name. That's just crazy. Like, they won't give you the breast milk, but they give you a middle name.
Yeah.
Yeah, that shouldn't be right.
I know.
Be the other way around.
Exactly. Damn it.
What's the whole spiel with the breast milk?
The first dose, it's like sort of clear. It's not really milk. It's sort of this clear stuff. It's supposed to have like
antibiotics,
all the stuff for the baby's immune system. It's like the first like thing they're supposed to ingest, and it's supposed to like I don't know
set the course.
Yeah,
for their life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then I ended up having ear problems and always sick. The immune system was shot, and then I got smart when I moved out here many years ago after being born, and then went to a crack doctor and got my immune system.
And you got some breast milk.
Exactly.
I finally got it.
I always preferred chocolate milk myself.
Those come from brown cows, according to 49% of Americans.
That's true.
Oh, my God. No, it's not. That's terrible.
No, it's not.
It's like 40%.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
They did a study.
People can't be that
40%.
Oh,
yeah,
where have you been?
I'm kidding.
Have you not watched anything?
I've not
it's
watched
like 40% of Americans think brown cows make brown milk.
You know, it's just the way our country is. It's really kind of the way the world is. I feel like I was thinking about this today when I was watching the news. I feel like a vote for a politician should be based on your IQ. I think the higher IQ, you deserve to have more votes.
I like that.
Right? Doesn't that make sense?
I don't like when people say this. I want to throat punch them. I'm not a violent person, but when they say this, I really want to punch them. I want to have a beer with my president.
Yeah.
I want to hang out. No.
No, thanks.
I want them to do the job and be way smarter than me.
Yeah.
I want them to
need to be an exceptional person.
Yeah.
Not a common person. And the person who's there now is not a common person either. Who wants to have a beer with that guy?
Yeah, it's true.
Even the people who voted for him. After having a beer with him, like, wow, this fucking guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
He's a piece of work. He really is. Lang, you just got back from entertaining our troops in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
How long were you there?
I was there February 5th to the 14th looking for a Valentine.
Yeah. Afghanistan is the place.
Well, you know, so we have to travel. You know,
Cupid gets there eventually.
He's had shitty aim the last. Can I swear?
You were there with a lot of my favorite comics: Christina Walkinshaw, Jen Murphy, Laura Hayden. I mean, the three very, very funny comics.
Yeah,
and yourself.
Yep, and Joel. Yeah,
Who's Joel?
Joel Brent. Oh God, no, he's gonna kill
me. He's gonna be like, thanks.
I know exactly. Thanks for screwing
me. We only spent 15 days.
Bryant. Oh God, have some more water. But we were over there, and it was, you know, five women and one dude, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
Have you been?
I've never been. I was supposed to go one time, and it got canceled like 3 weeks out.
With who?
I forgot. John Acosta was in charge of it. I don't know what company it was or who was in charge. I don't know what.
It's like Jimmy Schubert said, it will change you. And he's right. It will. It gives you a different perspective on life.
How many times have you been over?
I've been there. Well, Afghanistan, this is the second time, and then I was also South Korea and Japan.
Okay. That's way different, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, still a little scary because it was very odd being in South Korea because it was like the Twilight Zone. There is no advertisement. You cannot, they are real hardcore, like, don't you dare bring in a magazine.
Really?
Books, anything.
Magazine?
A magazine. Dude.
Why?
Yeah, because they don't want to get them influenced.
They don't want the exchange of ideas.
Exactly.
Wow.
Keep them dumb.
Keep them dumb.
Yeah.
You know, there's some guy that's just like, but I just love sports. I just want to know what's going on in the world of sports.
Yeah.
Nope. Yeah. I've kind of always wanted to go. At the same time, I haven't wanted to go. It's like when it was canceled, I'm like, I was bummed. At the same time, I was kind of relieved.
Yeah.
I didn't have to go to Afghanistan.
Yeah.
So
the first time we got shot, the first time I went over, we got incoming. I don't want to say shot up. That's a little dramatic. We had incoming.
Yeah.
But you don't know where it's going to land.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I could say shot at, you know?
Yeah.
So we had to take cover and. I can't tell you on what the feeling that is your hair goes up in the back of your neck going, is this it? And you literally, at least my dialogue in my head was like, this is it.
That is crazy.
I'm underneath the table because that's what you're supposed to do. Almost as bad as when we were kids.
Yeah.
If there's a nuclear war,
get out of your desk.
Now, if there is, I will grab a big bottle of something alcohol and go outside and stand, take a huge swig.
Just welcome it in.
And then I will say, I told you so! I am right! Asshole.
Well, so they were shooting at you, and you didn't tell us.
Oh, so
I know you lived, but
we had incoming, so, and it did land on the base, but not by us, and we were there for about 25, 30 minutes, just kind of hanging out. Until it was all clear sign. But you get this big, and you're like, oh, and your stomach just goes, ugh. And then there's, what's odd is that majority of all the soldiers, they're eating. And
that's every day.
Because it's every day, and you don't give a crap. And your attitude is, if it happens, it's my time to go. And I'm like, wow, that's crazy.
Either that or their nerves are just so fried. They're solely just disconnected and just like, oh.
I would love to look at their adrenal glands and see how many of them have exploded.
Yeah.
Seriously.
And then they come back over here and, like, how do you go back to... Right. I mean, it's just... It's insane.
But then there's another part, because I got talking with some soldiers, and they said it's just that we want to come back because it's structure. You come back to this, and it's just too much. It's like... it's like going to Vegas over stimulation.
Yeah. Well, it's like right when you get out. I mean, it's not nearly the same. It's like once you graduate college, you're like, oh, now I got to figure out how to structure my life.
Right.
And I don't know how to do that.
And when you're there, you know what you have to do every morning, tonight, and that's it. And I'm like,
you're institutionalized, basically.
So they prefer to be out there?
Some do. I'm not going to say all. But some do because the ones I was talking to do. And plus the money's good. And I think there's part of it is adrenaline. Little junkie going on because when I first went over there, you feel alive. That when after that happened with the alarm going off, I was like, I'm alive. Yeah. And then you come home and I'm like,
it's like the whole base of the movie, The Hurt Locker, not the
which
Locker,
they all
the
laugh
Locker,
at, by the way. Yeah. They laugh at that. That's a huge joke, but great movie, though.
But yeah, but
love
it's
Jeremy
like
Ritter.
The same
Ritter.
Sort of
love you, call
that,
me.
That movie put him on the map.
I love him.
Yeah, he's a badass.
No, God. just some dudes that do it for you. Yeah. Him.
Hawkeye does it for you.
I feel the same way about Eddie, really.
Yeah.
he's, some guys just do it for me.
I feel that way about dogs.
I feel that way about dogs, too. And you brought a dog, too.
Yeah, he's right at your feet. He's
sleeping.
Aw, that's cute.
He knows a dog lover.
Exactly. Love that dog.
So that must have been intense.
Yeah.
And but also time, heartwarming.
Yeah. No, you are so appreciated. It is the best audiences there.
What?
They love you.
What is the, I mean, I've that's done awesome. Bases in the U.S. I've never done outside the U.S., like, you know, mm-hmm. and they've always been great audiences. But, like, what over there, do you have to a serious curb on what you can talk about?
They know politics. Don't even
that's
bring
the only
it up.
Thing.
Yeah. There's some camps that we went to that they go, do what you want to do. But I want my job because I know a word will get back if I did something inappropriate.
And these guys want to break from that, I would imagine. They want to just laugh. And
yeah. And I mean, if it's a good one, why not?
Yeah.
But we stayed away from Trump jokes or anything political and then no blue material. I mean, hardcore, like every other word is F or,
or
sexual content. I mean, they're already pretty revved up, you know.
And are they allowed to drink and stuff?
Like, no. That's another thing, too.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's different.
That was the longest I went without a glass of vino.
That's funny.
I got to Dubai, and I'm like, pour me one. Yeah.
Like more apple juice, Lang?
Yeah. IV that, please.
That's
but
nice.
Yeah, we and I mean, get this. The first day that we got to perform, I did four shows. We broke up. We were six of us. We broke up in two groups, three and three. And we flew to each base by a Chinook. I mean, anyway, I mean, that's you crazy. Fly there and you fly back and you're like, is that the best way to go to a gig? On a Chinook.
That's
and then
crazy.
it was one the first one we got on the Chinook. One of the guys immediately said, hey, who wants to sit? And I sit.
Right.
Me!
Yeah, right.
and that was ended up being the only time that we could or they offered to sit. So I got to sit up in the front with
that's
the two
awesome.
Pilots. And they were hot, too. Oh, my God. but I didn't know this. All right, so I obviously, I'm single or definitely in heat. but not all of them. Okay. And I would ask the audience, who's single, who's married? Well, no one's single in the military. I didn't know this.
You get more money.
You do?
True? And especially over there, you get hazard pay. You get all those bumps.
But the thing is...
So they might not be like in love married, but they could be like legally married to someone back here just to get the pay kick.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Dang. Like my brother, he did one tour over there during the... the Gulf War in 2000. I think he went over in 2003 or 2002, whenever we went over. He was over in Iraq, and he had a fiance, mm-hmm. and they were planning the wedding or whatever. But he was getting shipped out, so they went and got legally married.
Yep.
And then we're going to come back and have the big wedding when they got back because it's such a jump in pay and hazard pay and all this other stuff because you have a spouse.
Well,
so it makes more sense if you're going to get married anyway. Get married before you go.
Right. So. And then so I was talking to one guy, and actually it was a woman, and she gets hazard pay because of asthma. And I'm like, in the long run, the hazard pay isn't worth it. It's
no.
not. I mean, there was, I don't remember which area it was, I forget, but it was so smoky. It was worse than smog here. I mean, remember the fires?
Yeah.
That's exactly, I mean, it was potent, and you smelled smoke. It wasn't a hint. And I'm like, they're smelling this all the time because the only way that they stay warm.
I think your dog
there,
farted. Speaking of smelling something,
could have been me.
Good
just
boy.
Kidding.
No,
that's a dog fart.
The only way that the Afghans stay warm is to light a fire. They don't have a thermostat.
Right.
They don't have a gas stove. It's they light a fire or a cow pie and stay warm that way.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. You see them live in mud huts.
You're like, well. That's the military.
Yeah. But the hazard pay is not worth it. You know what they're doing to their lungs and stuff?
I know.
Yeah, I'm like, oh my God, come on.
And are they actually seeing, they're not seeing any like warfare. Like they're not going into battles or anything, right?
They go out on missions and they see things. I have no idea. They didn't tell me
it's
that.
Classified.
Probably.
You didn't squeeze anything out.
No, I didn't squeeze anything.
Mm. How many shows did you do?
The first day I did four.
Four shows
yes,
in one day?
Yes.
How long are your sets?
Sometimes 10 minutes, 15.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the other group got to do five. Because we ended up doing a last-minute impromptu, and when they come to you and they're like, hey, can you do a show? It's like, what are you going to say no and go back to your bunker and like go to sleep? So we're exhausted. Yeah. I mean, we're, you know, this is all new. We're flying by Chinook and you're given everything That's you got. Crazy. You're talking to them afterwards. Crazy. You know, your personality is a little amped because you want to get them out of their head and not think where they are. You're shaking hands, hugging, and then you're, can you do another show? Yes. You find the energy and you just do it. There's not even a question.
And is it like, are you doing 50 people, 100 people?
It varies. It varies from being in a lunchroom with 4 or 5 people or them coming in, grabbing food and walking out to I think the biggest was 250.
Wow.
And that was the last impromptu. The Air Force said, hey, can you do a show? So then we did a show. It was about 1 hour and 15, not too long, because they got to go back to work.
Yeah.
And one guy came up to me, and he's like, look, he goes, I have been working 15-hour days. I haven't had a day off in 3 months. He goes, you have no idea how much I needed this.
That's amazing.
His eyes were welling up, and I'm like, oh, my God, don't start. I'm going to lose my
because I didn't want to do 10 minutes of work. I just wanted to go to sleep.
It was just that. That makes it worth it. You're like, feel when you're over there, you have a purpose.
Yeah.
Here, when you do the bar gigs, you're like, ugh. Yeah, you do them because you're working on new shit, whatever. But you have a purpose.
Well, you feel the gift.
Yes.
You know the gift is real, and then you know that you serve that purpose of the gift.
Yes.
Where here, it's like, I've got a gift.
Most of the time when you're going up here, you're doing it for yourself.
Yeah.
There, you're obviously...
Because you're not doing it for the audience.
Yeah. You're obviously not doing it for yourself. There's just, why would you travel all that way to do 10 minutes for yourself?
Right.
You know, and live in those conditions.
Exactly.
Well, let's talk about that for a second. So are you all in like bunkers, tents? Like, well, how does this work?
We are in, a best way to describe it is, you know, those
Chinooks?
Oh, that was so much fun. The containers. So they're like stacked on each other, and then you walk into a room, bed, TV, and a bathroom I shared with my roommate. But she was in another, same thing, house, bed.
What was the temperature over there when you guys
were there? It was like Wisconsin weather. It was cold.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's winter over there.
It was like 30s, got down
Which is way better than the 140s they usually get in the summertime.
Which I have done. I was over there.
Random question.
Yeah.
What kind of TV are you getting over there?
Well,
it's probably Armed Forces Network, right?
Well, yeah, but it's also they only give you what they want to give you.
Like ESPN's got to be on there.
Yes, and Fox.
Okay.
Hello. Of course.
What about HBO?
No.
Any perks?
No.
Perks?
No.
But
they give you different stations, and depending on what it was, like TNT, they'll run a marathon of Denzel Washington movies.
Okay.
There's always a God channel of some sort.
Okay. So just like sounds like a lot of propaganda TV.
Yeah, but the other person, I think Joel, he didn't even have a TV in his room.
So he had pizza parties in your room.
Exactly.
Because that's what we do. That's what we do. And what about food? What do you?
We go down to the
cafeteria.
DFAC, is that what you call it? I'm still trying to get the damn lingo. But it's
you're asking us. Like,
yeah, I know. Like, yeah, don't you know? Come on,
the mess hall.
Yeah, you know, where's Klinger? I think it's DFAC. I should know these terms already. And there's probably military people listening. Dumbass. Yeah, it's where you know, big cafeteria. And let me tell you something.
Food's good.
No, Jesus, this is what they're feeding our military. It wasn't that bad, but it wasn't great. Special Forces. Dang, they know how to eat. They get special food.
Why is that?
I don't know. They're special.
They're special forces.
Special food.
You mean like a menu dinner?
Nice. You know?
Like steak and mashed potatoes.
Yeah, well, I had that over on the other place, too. But no, this was... I was trying to remember what they had. I think they had peach cobbler that night. Because we went over there to eat before we did the show. And it was good. I was like, wow, I know where
Special Forces are the guys that go out at night and do things you don't want to know about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They were hot, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were they the ones that can, like, grow their hair however they want? Like the old Delta Force guys that could have, like, the beards and the... Because I had friends in the military, and they were like, you could tell when, like, the Delta Force guys or whatever, the Special Force guys drove on the base. Because
they all look like Chuck Norris?
Yeah. They could just do... They don't have to have the military cut. They can...
Right.
They have to blend in with right. wherever they
Definitely
are.
Definitely beards. I didn't see any though. Like they mostly were all clean shaven.
Yeah.
Type five or whatever the hell you call it.
Did you High try to sneak on a mission?
Always. Always.
Guys, just take me with you.
Exactly.
I'll entertain
Please.
The criminals.
Exactly. Oh, there was a prison on base too. We didn't get to go there.
Comforting.
Yeah, I was like,
no prison show.
Great. No. Oh no. We were afraid of possible flying feces. Gross. Yeah.
How big was the base?
Oh God, I should have had these facts.
Shopping mall size.
Put it this way: Bagram used to hold like 30,000, I think it
Jeez,
was.
So that's
now,
pretty...
no, but not now. Now it's like half that, maybe if not smaller than that.
Damn. Wow.
But that was. It's a big base.
But yeah, I mean, if it's got to hold 30,000 people, it's got to be huge.
Yeah. I mean, you had to drive everywhere, you know? It's that big where you have to drive. We, drove to where the canine dogs were and showing us how the attack or... And it was awesome because they showed how they would, get the bad guy down on the ground, face down, and the dog would literally be between his legs right at his nads, and if the dude made any move he would bite his that's exactly I had the same feeling crazy. And I don't have nads. I still went and while us the good guy would search him and see what he had on him, any bombs or guns or whatever, but that dog was right in his crotch, just right like this far, right? Okay.
Jeez. Yeah. Oh. Man.
But they're so cute.
Sounds like Eddie's dog.
When you first walk in the door.
Minus the peanut butter. That's brutal. That's just not fun for those people that have the dogs that close. Eddie. So you're doing shows at all hours of the day? All hours of the night?
We did a show at 7 a.m.
Man.
Who does a show at
7
a.m.?
What time do you have to wake up for that? Brutal. Like 6?
5.
Because you got up at 5?
Yeah, because we had to fly over there.
Who was up at 7 in the morning?
They are. They're champs, man.
I'm trying to think the earliest I've ever done a show.
I know. Puts things in perspective, right?
That's like a radio show.
5 p.m. might be the earliest I've ever done a show.
Still have crust in your eyes. You're like, damn.
7 a.m.
The girls are all like makeup up. I'm like, this is not makeup. We're sorry. We still have Mr. Sandman in my eyes. Hey, how are those eggs, guys?
Yeah, right. God. Just doing stand-up with the smell of coffee. I couldn't even imagine.
And the coffee's horrific. Oh, yeah, if you want to. All right, because we were talking, like, what do you guys need? They're like, please, no more soap, no more bar of soap. One guy opened up his locker and had a stack of no more cookies. He's no more Girl Scout cookies, none of that. What we need is AA batteries, oh, God. Okay, what was it? AA batteries, 2-ply toilet paper. When your toilet paper goes like this,
Fuck.
It's, oh, my God. Wow.
Gotta flush that right down the drain. And on top of that, you're in the desert.
Yeah.
Let's just get a little graphic. That's single ply. I can't even believe single ply is an option.
That's
just torture.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure.
Oh,
they
jerky. And jerky.
Love beef jerky?
Well, send it over because they don't have enough. There you go. That's what they need.
Batteries, toilet paper, and jerky.
Yeah.
That's a crazy combination.
I know. And no more cookies.
And what do they do?
You're making them fat.
What's their downtime? What do they do for downtime?
Not a whole hell of a lot.
You can't drink.
No. That's why they work 15-hour days.
Nothing else to do. Exactly. Go home and sleep and wake up and do it
again. They have activities there. There's a rec room area. There's a USO tour rec room that was kind of cool. They had a big TV there. They show movies. You can also do things for your family, like if you have a small child, they videotape you reading a book to them, which is kind of cool. I was like, right on. And play a little pool. You can get on the internet. Some of them were playing Grandmaster Theft Auto. What the hell you call it? Obviously, I don't play that.
Grandmaster Theft Auto.
Thank you.
That sounds like a great rap group right there.
You can tell.
I like it.
When are you going back? Do you have any plans going back?
I want to go back. I want to do a Europe tour. I want to do that run. There's a run through Italy and Germany, and I'm like,
yeah.
What I'm going to do is actually, my dog has cancer, and he's 15, and He's already surpassed the date of when he was supposed to pass, what they said, the vet, and which is great. But when he does pass, I'm going to take off and do some serious traveling. Yeah. I'm going to go to New Zealand and Australia. I'm back to Australia. I've been there twice, but I haven't been to New Zealand.
Do you perform when you're there, or you just go for the travel?
Yeah, I have some friends over there, so I know where I could go, so I'll get that all lined up. And
I've been to New Zealand. It's awesome.
Oh, God. I'm
both islands.
So bad.
I'll give you some tips.
Yeah.
You got to go to Rotorua.
Rotorua. Sounds like Roto-Rooter.
Rotorua.
Okay. Do I get Roto-Rootered?
You don't. Well, if you pay.
You can do that anywhere.
Yeah, right, exactly.
No, honestly, the best place I went to in New Zealand was Queenstown.
They have a Queenstown in Australia.
Unbelievable. It's incredible.
It's
like picturesque. They filmed a lot of Lord of the Rings there.
Yeah.
And they've got like, I was there during the winter, so they had a bunch of snowboarding. I wish I actually had time to go snowboarding there, but I didn't. But it was amazing. And I actually performed there too.
Wow.
It was awesome. Great response, great audiences. They just love that. It's different than here. It's like California, maybe it's just the United States, but definitely California, they kind of take it for granted sometimes.
You got that right.
You know, it's like, oh yeah, we get the best of everything, so why go out for any of it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But over there, it's like, when they know of an American coming to perform, then the response, people just come out. Like, it's like the way you would want somebody to come out and play.
Yeah.
But that's what I would expect of the armed forces, too.
Yeah.
It's like, why would they not want to go to these shows?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because
exactly.
They're not getting entertained that often, and they're not getting entertained, you know, in a way that it's anything like life here, you know what I mean? Other than those 2 weeks that you're there.
Right.
So I would assume that you'd have the whole bases. You'd just be doing, just within that base, you'd just be doing endless shows for the day, which is crazy.
But it all depends, too, is when they have the time that you can get in there and do it. Also, shout out to Maria Herman. She also was on Us Six.
Okay.
And you all performed together?
Well, yes. We have done... we did shows all together, and then we did shows split up, three and three, just so we could hit more people and get the laughs out there.
That's awesome. And laughing, it's like such a therapy.
They need it.
Yeah, they need it.
They need it bad.
Do you do a lot of material? Are you doing crowd work, or...?
You do a little of both.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, like you say, hey, some my hometown, Wisconsin, so if I see a fellow cheesehead. And that was funny, too. We ended up going to the bomb squad. I don't know what I should know the technical terms, but I don't. The bomb people, you know, Hurt Locker, which they laugh at you when you say that. But I was, you know, everybody was kind of like hanging out, checking out the big truck that you can go over bombs with, and it looks like a huge Hummer, and
it's got that V bottom, right?
So the explosion
right. goes out, up.
And we put on the bomb suit, and I grabbed
on a bomb suit.
I did it the first time, so I just let the rest of them put on the bomb suit, you know.
How do you like me now, Eddie?
So I ended up gravitating to this one guy, and we started talking, and I, you know, like 15 minutes we're talking. I go, where are you from? He goes, Wisconsin. I go, shut the front door. He whips out his driver's license, and I'm like, sweet. Out of all the dudes,
right.
I just gravitate towards the cheesehead. And he didn't have an accent.
He's probably like, tough season, tough season.
It was awesome. Awesome.
That's, you know, you're bridging the gap.
Yeah.
What was the most challenging show that you did?
The 7 a.m. one.
Because it was just early and just getting people amped?
Yeah. And just because people were eating eggs and watching us with a deadpan look, you know?
Yeah, they're like, why? What are we doing?
Exactly. They're just getting up. We're getting up.
And they're going to go to work, right?
It's like a show
before
work.
They're like, I don't want to.
Yeah. What are you doing?
That seems
terrible. And when you say work, like, what are they
doing? So bad.
They're doing what they're doing on base.
But, like, what is that?
I don't know. Everything.
I mean, are they doing drills? Are they out?
Probably doing
are they carrying
drills?
Guns and like going
some
in town?
Some did. A lot of them had a gun on their thigh, which was awesome. But yeah, they would, you know, go to their area of where their expertise was. Like, you know, there's the bomb dudes, and there's people that work on the aircrafts.
Nuts. Did you get to go on an aircraft?
I got to sit on an Apache.
That is dope.
Yeah.
So the missiles?
Yes. and the deflectors of, you know, if they're coming at, you know, it was like a souped up helicopter.
You had your own version of Firebird.
Yeah.
You remember that movie?
Yeah, I do.
Do you remember that movie, Eddie?
Firebird.
You saw Firebird.
Which one?
You don't remember the movie about the helicopter, the helicopters with missiles and stuff?
Blue Thunder?
No, it was called Firebird.
Blue Thunder was one, and then Airwolf was the TV show.
Airwolf, I miss. That was good. That was a good time.
I watched MASH. I loved MASH.
MASH was a classic.
You ever hiked the MASH site on Malibu Creek Canyon?
Yep.
Yeah, that's fun.
I love that.
That's
that
pretty cool. The sign's still there.
It is?
You ever been there?
I haven't seen the sign.
It's there with the, like, Tokyo 3,000 mile. That's still there. When's the last time you were there?
Oh, it's been like 5 years, seven years.
That went like 3 years ago. I went 2 years ago and it was still there. And they have it like all, you know, the ropes are all off where all like every building was so you can see how the camp was laid out.
Nice.
Yeah, you should hike back there. It's like, what, a 2 mile hike down Malibu Creek Canyon?
I do Temescal Canyon and I still have to do Fryman.
Fryman?
Yeah.
Not that challenging. That one's not that challenging.
Oh,
it's
I want
leisure,
a challenge.
It's a leisure walk.
Look at you talking mountain trails.
Well, Fryman's not really a mountain
trail. Hey, Runyon's more challenging than Fryman. Would you say crowd work and what was the other thing you said?
Material?
Yeah, what's the difference?
Material's doing your joke. Crowd work's talking to the audience and making jokes with the audience.
Ah. See, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Because when you end up, you know, talking to people from your hometown, you can just throw a couple jokes at them or something that they're going to be familiar with. So it's
or they'll just say something and you can just riff on something.
Yeah, totally.
That's crazy. That must have felt really good.
Yeah.
Just performing for all these people that are serving our country. And you probably had to put all your political beliefs on pause.
You can't, yeah.
You can't say a thing.
No. But it was interesting because the dudes that I would pull off to the side, they're so not liking him.
Really?
Yeah. They have to listen to him because he's right. Their commander, but they all roll their eyes.
I think
a lot of them said off the record, but I'm not going to tell their name. Obviously, I'm not going to say who it was, but they're all just like, ugh.
I would imagine anyone who has to go through what it takes to serve in the country would look at someone like him.
That dodged it how many times?
That dodged it 5 times.
Yeah.
And I understand having to respect the office and salute your boss and do what he says, but at the same time, I don't see I have any level of respect for the man.
Yeah.
After going what you have to go through every day of your life over there, and then to see, watch him dodge it 5 times.
But I also heard horror stories about Hillary, too.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
No, but I'm not saying.
Oh,
but
I'm sure.
Don't take it all twisted out there in the audience thinking I was a Trump lover. No, I'm not.
No, I don't think.
They're all screwed up.
Yep. You can't get to that level of politics.
Thank you.
Without being a corrupt motherfucker.
Exactly.
You just can't. It's
can't.
Not possible. And I liked Obama, but you don't get to that level without having some shady shit that you've done in your life to get to that level. It's not possible.
Yeah.
Just not.
Then, did you hear the news today about Russia and they poisoned a spy?
Yeah.
Russia is not good, people.
No,
what
I don't.
What part of this don't you understand?
I know.
Who goes and puts kryptonite or what the hell it was in one dude's tea?
It's like some sort of plutonium shit.
Yes. And I'm like, really? Oh, but we, that's great. We're friends with Russia. Oh, please, no. Trump, go have a cup of tea over there, would you? Just I get so pissed off. Like you really, people, you think this is great? Okay.
No, it's more. I think I honestly, not to get on a political tangent, but I think it's honestly less about liking him and more about triggering liberals.
Yeah.
I think they what they hate liberals so much. They just like watching liberals get riled up more than they care about whatever he's doing.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think that.
Is this your first tour over there?
No, second. I was over there in 2013. Yeah, 2013 I was over there. And that's when Camp Leatherneck was there. Now it's just they gave it to the Afghans.
What was the gnarliest story that you heard? You had to hear war stories, obviously.
Jeez.
Right?
No, they were pretty quiet. They didn't really get into horror stories. Just I know through my own friends of stories that they went through, which is just not
like my friend came back. He did a couple tours over there, and he was actually one of the guys that drove the Humvee at night when they went and kicked in the doors and pulled people out. He was driving the Humvee. He came back and
on one of his stop. He landed here in L.A. and spent the night at my place before he had to go decommission or whatever after his tour on his base. But he had a notebook full of CDs with photographs.
Oh, yes.
Before they went through the redaction process and you can't release these to the public. And he showed me some of the gnarliest fucking photos you would ever want to see.
You mean like mutilated bodies and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, blown up. Yeah, I've seen those.
Bombs that hit the body and basically knocked the guts and the bones out of the skin. And you're just looking at like an empty pile of skin. Like just like a face with no eyes and no, like it's just like a mask. It was just like, and they live that stuff. I'm like, no wonder you're fucked up. I mean, how can you not be fucked up?
How do you even make that choice to do that? That's crazy.
I mean, I just don't, I mean, I just like, I don't know how you come back.
I still think it's a, this is just my own opinion. I just think it's an adrenaline, not that I'm saying you like watching people blow up, but there's an adrenaline that you just keep going back. You just like, because you're here and you're like, whatever. You're complaining about your cappuccino and it's the wrong foam.
Yeah.
F you.
It's the same. I think, not anywhere near the same level, but it's like, it's the adrenaline rush you get when you perform comedy. It's like to not have that anymore.
Right.
You're like, oh, how do you go through life not having that same rush anymore? I mean, not saying it's at anywhere near what a military guy, but I understand.
You just compare stand-up comedy.
No, I just did the exact opposite.
Tom Cruise. Tom.
I just said it's nowhere near, but I understand having that part of your life where you do get that sort of adrenaline rush and then not doing it anymore. You're like, well, how do you fucking not, how do you go through life without getting any, like, that sort of buzz?
I'm
like,
I think it's weird, though, like, they see so much death. Like, that cannot be good for the psyche.
No,
to see that
not.
Much death and to see it in such graphic ways and then try to, you know, come back to a life.
Hi, honey. Yes. Where are the kids? Yes. Let me hold them.
I mean, you can't just make that adjustment without losing something. Lose something. You lose, maybe it's an innocence, maybe it's like bit of like
hearts. It's weird. My friend who was a Marine who showed me those paintings, he's done a few tours. Like, he's completely fine. Like, it's not like there's no weird thing to him, and he hasn't. He's stationed on the East Coast now.
Yeah, but see, I'm not convinced. Like,
he's always had a temper. Like, he's a nut job. He's always had a temper. But I get a temper in grade school and high school. Like, he would beat the shit out of his baseball hat if he dropped a ball. Like, he's had a temper, but like, I thought when he would come back, I would notice something different about him, but he didn't seem changed at all.
Yeah.
You know?
I wonder if he has nightmares.
I don't know how you couldn't, but I don't know.
Because a lot of my military friends, they are all like adrenaline junkies. They have their Harleys and they like to go really fast and, you know, they have that adrenaline lifestyle, jumping on planes, whatever.
I mean, I have that. I've jumped off of, you know, out of planes and I've jumped off of cliffs and done, I love that, snowboarding, stuff like that. But that's a whole different thing because it's like a perspective on life, and I guess the best, it's you really, life versus death.
Yeah.
And I'm not just talking about warfare, I'm talking about like how you see life and how you see death, and then the lines just get smeared.
Yeah.
And you cannot come out of that without having this either insane amounts of perspective or insane amounts of just ridiculous, I don't know, kind of insanity, I guess.
Well, when I came back 2013, I removed some people from my life. You just, you go, wow, okay, life's short. Got it. Thank you. And then 2 years ago.
So it changed your perspective.
It did, big time. You're like, wow. And then 2 years ago, my father passed. And then 2 months later, my two very good friends died in a plane crash. And I'm like, got it. So then that also pushed me again, going through friends, going, nope, you suck every emotion response out of me, and I just can't handle, or the drama, and you just remove people. And then this tour, too.
And then you're alone.
Exactly. With a dog that's dying of cancer. Thank you. Send your donations. But I'd rather be alone than in something that's freaking miserable or an a-hole, and I, Lord knows I know how to pick them. Well, let's use past tense. I'm not picking them anymore. But this tour, too, it's just like you don't want crap in your life. You don't want people that are leeching on. You want to be around people that are going to make you want to be a better person.
Right.
Or, also, or they are better than you.
I'm sure it's like your perspective on giving is different, too.
No, I'm still an asshole. you know, you see...
You still are who you are.
Exactly. I mean, you see some homeless... Well, I almost got in a fight with a homeless dude. There was in front of a 7-Eleven, there was a 20-year-old dude. And he was like, hey, man, you can... I go, dude. I go, how old are you? 23. I go, you gave up at 23. Really? You just gave up. Now, granted, I know nothing about him. He goes, well, I've been homeless since 19. I go, and what? So what? I said, come on, dude. Go out there and get your shit together. Pull yourself up by the bootstraps. And come on. You're quitting at 23? And then I was a smartass because that's the way I am. And I looked at him. I go, oh, I went in, got a couple lottery tickets, came out. And I go, oh, and by the way, when you get in your 40s, it's even worse. I was pissed at seeing that attitude of a 20-year-old. Yeah. I can see Vietnam vets homeless. I get it because it's crappy and we're not supporting as much as
and
we
you're
should.
And it fucks you up in the head and all that other stuff. I mean, who knows what that 19-year-old went through to be homeless, but
true.
At 19, you think you should have enough life in you to
keep trying,
at least try something. A little bit more. But you know, who knows?
Exactly.
I've never been close to homeless, so I don't know what that goes through. So I don't know.
You are a comedian.
I don't know. I know I am. I am. I've been fortunate enough not to be close to homeless.
No, but, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. No, it's a whole different. It's a whole different thing. But no, I would think that because you go over there and you do that, I mean, it kind of. I would expect it makes you want to do more of that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, of course.
Like, this is your second tour. Now you could see yourself doing it probably. It took you 4 or 5 years to do the second tour.
Well, that's because you try to get someone that you know that books it, that wants you on their clique of comics to go over there. That's basically what it is.
Hmm. And did you do it as a package? Like, you knew these six people are always going to be with
my
you.
Friend ended up booking it all together, and Laura put it all together and figured out a good combination of who, and it was a great combination.
Yeah, the people that I know from that group are amazing. So,
because as you know, if you travel with comics, it sometimes is not pleasant. You just want to choke half of them. Because everybody is because most comics are always trying to one-up you or be funny and turn on, and they can't turn off. And you're like, dude, would you just be a human being and talk like a normal, besides work your bit out on me?
Right.
You know, and it becomes irritating, and some people have shitty habits.
Yeah.
You know, smokers, and you're like, I don't want to be around smoke all the time, or whatever the shitty habit is.
Right.
Kinda or they're just like, irritating.
Kind of sounds like people in general. I mean... Nothing
but
you're saying. I'm
comics,
like, that's not just for comics. That's
comics
not just for,
like to needle a little more because they're a-holes. We like to sit there and cross the line and see how far we can get to piss somebody off. Hence, I pissed off the homeless person.
Eddie, you picking fights with any homeless people?
No. I've had fights with homeless people. But
really?
Yeah.
Over what?
One asked me. I actually do a bit about it where I was sitting in the drive-thru at Wendy's and the guy came and asked me for change, and I was like, I don't have any. I do, but I want a Frosty, so no. But that's the joke and the thing. But in real life, I didn't have any change, and he just pushed my face. He like pushed me. He reached in the window and pushed me.
Wow!
And said ungrateful and started walking away. And I was
you're the jerk though. You know, it's like no, you're not.
No, I didn't do anything wrong. I just didn't have. I paid with a credit card because I don't really carry any cash on me. I don't think he's got Square, so I'm not giving him my credit card.
Why not?
But yeah, I say that joke on stage, and some people go, "Oh, I'm like he was the fucking asshole."
I know. That's what I'm like. Where's the part of who's going to take responsibility for their actions?
Yeah.
He needs to take responsibility of his
actions.
I mean, actions.
Like I set it up. Like this guy was obviously very angry and burned all his bridges, and that's why he is this homeless person because he's so fucking angry. I don't know. I don't know what happened to him or why he got the way he was, but he was just a fucking jerk that night.
Right.
So.
But it's not your fault.
It wasn't my fault. I wasn't the asshole in the situation.
But the audience.
But the audience thinks I'm the asshole just because I'm talking about a homeless person. I'm like.
But you know this too. You're in front of an audience. You're doing a show, and there's this chick that won't shut up, and she wants to be a part of the act. And you're like, and then finally you tell her off. And then sometimes you're gonna be careful. The audience will turn at you and going, "That was mean." She's talking through the whole show.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm the a-hole.
Oh.
And you're like, really?
I go off on people
just,
so bad.
I know. It drives me insane. Oh, I'm the jerk.
You heckle back?
Oh, you're the one in charge. You have the microphone.
Exactly. And you paid to see the show. You shut your pie hole.
If you let them get control, it's over.
Yeah.
You have to shut them
up. But there's a fine line. You got to do it good. You got to do it a little slick.
Diplomatically.
Yeah.
You know?
But I'm sure you didn't deal with any of that.
No.
No, not there.
Not at all.
It's just all positive. Yeah. Just everybody behaved.
Yeah.
Because they represent
exactly that too. Yeah.
The country.
Clap, shut up. So. Clap.
They're also trained, and like there's a
there's a discipline.
Yeah, there's a discipline there that.
And they really are grateful that we're there to entertain them, and which always makes me laugh. I mean, I get that they're grateful, but I'm like, I'm grateful,
right?
Because I can stand on stage and tell dick jokes because of you people.
You're over here doing this every day. I'm like, fuck.
I can leave.
Yeah.
I'm on a plane.
I'm doing nonsense up here, and you're like,
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why not go back to Afghanistan?
Oh, I will if opportunity arises.
Or you just want to do a different run?
I would like to do a different run. I want to go to Europe.
Well, you want to go to the pretty place.
Yeah, I want to go to the pretty places besides dirt.
Yeah.
When you're there, you literally, it's just rock, dust, and more dust and dirt. There's no greenery. I'm sure in part in Afghanistan, I think the southern parts, there's greenery. But it's when you're on base, there's no plant. Nothing.
It's just not a habitable place.
No.
Which really...
Which brings out a lot of anger in
which
people.
Which really why that part of the world has just never had peace. Because it's such a... It sounds like such a miserable place to live with the heat. 140-degree heat. How can you not be in a bad mood?
Yes.
And smelling smoke in the winter times because people are trying to stay warm in their hut. and that's what I'm like. started doing that. And I'm like, I got to get out of here quick, man. I want hazard pay. Because I'm a little on the sensitive side, immune system. Crap.
Well, you didn't get the boob milk when you were young.
Exactly.
Well.
See?
It all comes back to that.
Full circle.
Yeah.
Full circle.
We go.
Did you have to host any night?
Yeah, I did. Well, I brought on every when we split off to the three comics, I emceed, but I still did time.
And they wouldn't have you do like why only an hour and a half if they had six comics doing 15 to 20 minutes? Why not make it a 3 hour?
Well, no one wants a 3 hour show.
They got to get back to work. I think the longest show is an hour and a half.
You don't want to go longer than that for a comedy show.
No, and they gotta.
It requires too much attention from people.
Yeah,
it's not like music where you can kind of just veg out listening to music.
Yeah,
comedy requires the audience's attention, and having people's attention for more than an hour and a half, you're pushing it.
And they gotta get back to work.
Yeah, and they have to go to work and.
So work. It's not like a Friday. It's not like a Friday or Saturday for them. It's like every day is Monday.
Oh, man. You just definitely...
Hence, that guy he never had a day off in 3 months.
You should definitely not be an armed forces recruiter. That is not in your stars.
What else have you been working? Let's not talk... We've talked about Afghanistan all the time. You want to talk about something else?
Yeah, I'm going to be... A movie's coming out. I'm starring in a movie, and it's going to come out this year, and... Phil Lamar is in it. Rick Overton.
I love Rick.
I've
known Rick forever.
What's the name of the movie?
Greg Proops. It's called Izzy Lion, The Unspun Truth. A working title, but that's probably right around the genre, what it is. Mike McGill, Jeff Davies. So I'm excited.
That's awesome.
And I get to play a woman that's kind of from Wisconsin that has, so I can really work my chops on my Wisconsin accent, so, yeah.
When's it come out? Is it coming out? Is it theaters or iTunes? Or
we're going to find out. I don't know.
Oh, you don't know yet? When's it supposed to come out? You don't know?
This year.
This year sometime?
Yeah. Still in editing.
Well, Phil and Rick are two tremendously talented people. I'm not familiar. Greg, obviously, too, but I don't know Greg. But
he,
I know Phil and Rick.
Watching that dude work, I just was standing there and I had to watch my mouth that it was agape. I was just like, he's amazing at improv.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, so is Rick.
And so is Rick. Rick, too.
And Phil.
Yeah, they all are.
They're all amazing at improv.
Yeah.
But just, this was scripted, right?
Yeah. But they let us, go off a little
play
bit.
Play around.
Yeah, play around.
Have some room.
There was some magic happening. I was just like, holy crap, I get to watch this happen.
Are you in a lot of it? You got like a good scene? Or
yeah,
what do you have?
I'm throughout the whole thing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
How long was the shoot?
about 3 weeks total. 3 weeks, 4 weeks.
Amazing.
And they flew to Chicago, and they did a couple days there, and I think they flew to like two other places and shot there, but in L.A. it was like 3 weeks.
And what's the premise?
Can't tell you anything.
Not even a peep?
No, because I don't want to get in trouble.
Okay.
They're like, no details. I'm like, all right. No but details. I can say who's in.
Well, it's worth seeing just for the cast list.
Yes. Yeah.
No matter what's going on.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a mockumentary. Oh, I will say that.
I like it already.
Yeah, Best in Show, kind of mock. Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
Did any of you see I, Tanya?
I haven't seen it yet.
I did.
I loved it.
It was so good. Alice and Janney rocked that shit.
I call her. I knew she was going to get the Oscar. And well, of course, and you got Fargo, Francis.
Yeah, Francis McDormand.
She's a badass. Did you watch the Oscars?
I did not.
You didn't watch them?
Well, no, because I don't have a TV. I threw it out 15 years ago.
I always want a comedian's perspective on the host. Did you watch the Oscars?
No.
Because isn't that like the biggest gig for a comedian to host the Oscars?
I would not want that gig.
Really? That'd be amazing.
There's too many eyeballs.
Who the hell are you? You can't satisfy a third of that room.
Yeah.
No matter what you
do. Why, just because of political beliefs?
Political, everyone's posturing, everyone's looking around to see if everybody else is laughing. Exactly. Was that funny? Should I laugh at that?
Golden Globes.
Golden Globes, everybody's drunk.
Everybody's drunk and having a good time and they're relaxed.
You can host that one. Because that's like doing a show.
Yes.
At a nightclub.
Oscars need to go in that direction. And there was the two girls that got up there, and I forgot their names.
Tina Fey.
No. It was the other two.
You mean the hosts?
No, the two
girls. Oh, the presenters?
The two girls, and she came out in her UGG boots.
Oh, it was Maya and Tiffany. Yeah,
Those two, I heard. I didn't get to hear any of their bit. I just was watching them mouth because I was at the bar drinking. But I saw them, and they just look like they have great chemistry, and plus a lot of tweets were...
Well, Jimmy Kimmel did a solid job. It was kind of cool.
I like him.
He took some people
into... I like Jimmy, but
he took some people into the Grauman's, and he had a hot dog bazooka. I thought it was pretty badass that he did that.
I don't think I've watched the Oscars in a decade. Or maybe longer.
Dude,
I love that stuff.
Big 3-hour pat on the back fest. I'm good. Thanks.
No, but it's like you get exposed to so much art. It's so great.
Oh, because of that.
Music performances were bad, though.
Because of the Oscars, I ended up watching 20 Feet to Stardom. And the best documentary.
And
it won.
There's a foreign film I want to see now because of the Oscars.
Yeah.
And there's also, there's a couple movies that I want to see now because of the Oscars. Mudbound, for example.
Yes.
I want to see Mudbound. That wasn't on my list before.
How did you feel because of the Me Too movement and Time Is Up? How did you feel about Kobe getting an Oscar?
I thought that was it was kind of like a weird twist of irony in that whole thing. But if you saw the movie, which I did, it deserved to win.
Yeah.
It was scored by John Williams.
Oh,
the whole animation was amazing. It was based on one of his speeches that he wrote called Dear Basketball. Like, it's a letter that he wrote to basketball.
Oh, wow.
And it's bitchin'. I mean, it is exceptional. So you kind of have to... You know, I kind of feel like the world is a little sexually repressed and everybody's very sensitive about a lot of things, which I understand and I get. But in that instance, it's about the content, not who the person is.
So would you say the same thing about a Harvey Weinstein
or
movie?
Or Bill Cosby? Would you say the same about Bill Cosby?
Well, Bill Cosby's a whole different...
Do you separate the artist from the art?
Well, I guess I separate the crimes because like in Kobe's instance, the girl had 4 different kinds of sperm on her panties. That was why the case got dismissed.
Gotcha.
So when you have that kind of evidence, it's a different situation than a Harvey Weinstein or a Bill Cosby where there's 40 women saying, oh, my God. You know, so...
Very good point.
You know what I mean? It's kind of one of those things where it's like you kind of separate the crimes. You can't just lump everybody in. And everybody wants to lump
everybody in. Yeah. You can't lump, man.
I kind of feel like you can't do that. And really, it's about a celebration of content. No matter what your political beliefs are or your views on the world... That's not the forum for that, and I kind of feel like even it's great.
Nah,
that all those...
see, I disagree. I know everybody gets pissed about
that. No, that's okay. I love that it is.
I like that
vehicle.
Because people are gonna. That's the forum to do it. To me, in my opinion, is that if you're gonna say something, just get it in. Don't go on a long ass speech, but say you're quick because you're hitting the masses.
Okay, so I'm gonna just counter this for 2 seconds.
All right,
Monica Lewinsky has chimed in on the Me Too movement.
Really?
Yes. And if you look that up, Monica Lewinsky's like, I know it was consensual, but I feel like he was a man in power and he took advantage of me not being in power. And
no,
it's like,
I kind of disagree with that.
And you know
that.
What? Exactly. And that's where, like, where does the line?
I know. And that's
where's
where
the cutoff,
right.
Where it's like, no, your story is not as relevant as this story. It's like, you know what? At the same time, you know, she has a point. But at the same time, to counter that, it's like, this isn't the place to have that discussion. It's too right. many dicey situations.
Why do I keep hearing when people like to bring that one up that they say that it was rape? They accuse Clinton raping her, and it's like, no, they did it in the White House, shitty place to do it.
Right.
But they did it. He didn't rape her. Why do people keep saying that? Or am I way off here?
No, you're not way off. And again, Clinton, you know, well, I think Bill Clinton's got a ton of.
Oh yeah.
Well, he had stuff before her there was a rape accusation, I believe. I don't know.
No, there's a ton, and even senior Bush.
But like I said, you don't get to that point of power,
right?
And not be a corrupt motherfucker.
Another circle back.
Yeah, it's just like it's true.
So in regards to Kobe, I think it was a great
piece,
and I think it should be separate from the movement, and the message should still be about the movement. And other than that, I thought the Oscars were great. So,
right? How did it end again? Did they? I heard they brought the two back again, and they read the correct
envelope.
I think
Warren Beatty came back out.
Yeah, they brought those two back.
Yeah,
and the director who won for Shape of Water was like, "Give me the envelope." Yeah. Make sure he looked.
And
the coolest part of the whole show is they gave a jet ski for the shortest speech. And so they had the person who won the jet ski on the jet ski, and they wheeled him out. I mean, it was.
I only saw.
It was the guy who won for Phantom Thread.
I saw the only part I came out for was Mark Hamill. I saw Mark Hamill's presentation.
He went into one of the theaters. Yeah.
No, it's just a presentation. He opened up. He's like, "Please don't say La La Land. Please don't say La La Land." Like that's what he was. Because I love Mark Hamill.
He went into Grauman's theater.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, with Jimmy Kimmel with a whole bunch of people. So
I heard that was a party to go to.
What?
Jimmy's party.
Oh, I'm sure.
He's a huge foodie, and there's a bunch of food of like 20 different stations. Man. And
he fired back at Trump today on Twitter. Did you hear that?
I saw that, and I thought it was beautiful.
So funny.
I laughed.
Well, Trump said Oscar's
the lowest ratings.
And then Kimmel tweets back, "Thanks, lowest rated president." So funny.
Well, Lang, thank you so much for being a guest. You had a tremendous story.
Thanks.
An amazing gift you gave to those soldiers. It was moving. It was
them, man, not me. I get to come back. They're awesome.
And bring back one of those dogs for Eddie. And a jar
they
of
do. You know
butter.
What? They do have. Well, you can adopt them. You can adopt retired military. No,
you get to taste the balls in your mouth. I don't know if I want to adopt that dog.
That's like a Wednesday for you.
That's no good.
Look me up on langcomedy.com. I got some good shows coming up. The Throckmorton on the 20th up in
Nova doing Valley. That April 3rd.
I'll be there this month, the 20th.
I love that. That's my third time doing it.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's my favorite place to
perform. It's so fun.
I love Lucy.
So fun. Yeah.
That's awesome.
And that's where I met Robin Williams. And we got to talk for 45 minutes, and he loves my dog.
Dude. That's a whole nother episode.
I know.
Yeah. We got to have you back.
Throckmorton's amazing.
Please.
One more time. What's your website?
Langcomedy.com.
Lang, you are awesome.
Thank you. You guys are.
You're awesome, too.
I mean,
I'll see you guys next week.
Bye.